Just looking at the US first, and you know, the data is still a very, very mixed bag. There's still some signs of strength in the US, but the worrying part is that the mainstay of US economic growth, which has been consumer spending, appears to be coming under threat. You know, it seems that particularly in consumer confidence, consumer sentiment survey readings, that the household sector is saying, look, we don't like what the policies are going to look like here in the United States. They look as if they're going to mean weaker growth. You know, we're going to pull our heads in. And at the same time, they look as if they're going to mean more inflation. And you can see that in the consumer confidence and Michigan consumer sentiment surveys, both for March that came out during last week. In the case of the consumer confidence survey for the month of March, We thought that this would have a pretty big fall, and it came down to 92.9, which is actually a pretty low reading, from 100.1 going back the previous month. So quite a sharp fall running through there. And also the final reading of the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, it already come down to 57.9 from 64.7. That's a very low reading, and it went down a little bit further with the late readings to 57.0. Also, we get inflation expectations with that survey, and they have really motored higher. We saw in the initial reading that 1 year inflation expectations went up from 4.3 to 4.9, that was 3.3 going back the month before that. Well, the 1 year inflation expectations went up another notch. So with those late replies, it's pushed up to 5%. That's the inflation expectation in the survey for 1 year. And the 5 year inflation expectations, this had gone up from 3 to 3.5 to 3.9 in the early March response. That was revised up in the final response to 4.1. So over 5 years, they're thinking about 4.1% inflation. Now, obviously, that's high, and it's going to be a restraint as far as the Federal Reserve's concerned, which in any case has already been on pause at 4.5%. Yeah, there was some hint in that last meeting that they could bring interest rates down a couple of times this year. But you know, this is the problem we're running into now with what President Trump's proposing with all these various tariffs. You know, the latest ones were on cars last week, 25%. And, of course, we've got this week is so-called Freedom Day, and that comes be Tuesday our time, where there will be announcement of a whole load more tariffs on different countries to deal with. And, of course, we've got a reaction in markets to that going back to Friday last week. Some of the other data that came through, old data, we had Q4 GDP, the final revision of that. It was revised up to 2.4% annualized growth from 2.3%. And you know, the mainstay of that's consumer spending. That's up 4% annualized. Now, why, you know, if you've got 4% annualized consumer spending, have you only got 2.4% annualized growth? Well, it's because the trade part of the US economy is really detracting from growth. And going back to January, we had a record high trade deficit of $155.57 billion. Well, it stayed high in the month of February, $147 billion. And this is like plays to President Trump's book where he's saying, look, you know, these are other countries taking a rise out of us. You know, they run surpluses with us. They're playing unfairly. That's why we're slapping all these tariffs on. Yeah, the trade data certainly is a drag on U.S. economic growth. But until now, we've had very strong consumer spending helping to keep growth up. And but that's now starting to come under some threat. And later in the week, you know, we had things like personal income, personal spending readings came out for the month of February. No problem with income still. So we've still got a household sector with, you know, the wherewithal to spend if they feel in the mood to. Personal income rose by 0.8% month on month after a 0.7% increase the month before. Plenty of income coming through, But personal spending is starting to falter. We saw that with the retail spending data for January and February, where between them, you know, we're down about 1% in the first 2 months of this year. Well, personal spending, not quite as bad as that. It was up 0.4% in the month of February, but that was after a revised and worse minus 0.3% the month before. So it's virtually flatlining over the 2 months. We've still got some strength running through the housing sector, and this is one of the conundrums. The housing indicators are actually pointing upwards. So we had February new home sales came out. They lifted by 1.8% month on month. We had February pending home sales, which is very forward-looking, and that was up 2% month on month. It was only expected to be up 0.9%. And the labour market's still tight in the US. So we had initial jobless claims for the most recent week. They were 225,000 the week before, pretty low. They actually came down one to 224,000, so holding pretty low, and still suggests that there's tightness running through the labour market. But we've got this inflation edge in all this too. And so we had the February core personal consumption expenditure deflation. It's an alternative to the CPI, and the one the Fed actually looks at pretty closely. The market thought it might be up 0.3% month on month. It was up 0.4%. That was after a 0.3% increase the month before. As a result of that, the year on year went up to 2.8% from 2.7%. So this is actually starting to motor up and is a sign of sticky inflation. So this is, it's all pretty worrying stuff in some ways, because you've got President Trump's policies, which are really starting to undermine confidence in the US economy, and of course investor confidence as well from time to time. It's starting to undermine the strongest part of the US economy. So by rights, the consumer should be spending pretty freely with the sort of income wage growth that's coming through, but they're starting to fear what's coming ahead with these policy changes from the president. And so that's starting to bear down. But at the same time, they also fear the inflation that's going to come from it as well. So that's part of the partly a consequence of this as well. Moving to the US this week, the focus will be on some forward-looking indicators. We've got the ISM manufacturing PMI coming out on Tuesday. We've also got the ISM non-manufacturing PMI coming out, these both for March, on Thursday. These have been pretty strong. The ISM manufacturing PMI has had back-to-back months in January and February above 50. There's an expectation that might edge back a bit, even though that's the preferred sector in some ways for the US. And this is another problem with President Trump's tariff policies. What tends to happen with those is that it does tend to compromise demand, because obviously putting up the prices of imported goods and the inputs into some US manufacturing, and so that becomes a bit of a constraint. But it also constrains supply in the economy, because it's making it more difficult for the supply chain. And when you're looking at the supply chain, so the US with Mexico and Canada, where they've imposed some of the biggest tariffs, has one of the most integrated supply chains in the world. And it's really damaging that. And so that's at the same time as you're bearing down on demand, which normally might start to take some edge off inflation, it's actually worsening supply even more. And so this is the problem with the policy initiatives which are being run in the US at the moment. It don't look as if they're going to be changing shape anytime soon. Towards the end of the week, we get non-farm payrolls data coming out as well. And non-farm payrolls have been holding up. They were up 151,000 going back to February. Market expects they'll be up another 110,000 for the most recent week. That will probably hold the unemployment rate at a pretty low 4.1%. So that's where it is at the moment, and is expected to be 4.1% again for the month of March. We'll also get average hourly earnings coming out, and these are showing some signs of being quite high now on an annual basis. So average hourly earnings, they were up 0.3% last month. They're expected to be up at least 0.3% again this month. They're running at 4% year on year. Depending on whether you're looking at the personal consumption expenditure deflator or the CPI, that means that real wage growth is running well above 1% and has been for quite some time. So this is a conundrum in the United States. No lack of good income growth coming through, but it's sentiment which is really starting to be damaged at the moment. And you know, it's running through to financial market sentiment from time to time. But at the same time, you know, people would tend to run towards safe haven assets like bonds for investment. But the problem there is you're also looking at high inflation and the fact that the Fed can't bring interest rates down particularly quickly, and in fact may have to push them back up again as we go a bit further down the track. Moving to China, we had no real data coming out of China last week, but we'll get, as we go through today and tomorrow, we'll see the manufacturing, non-manufacturing PMIs, the cakes in manufacturing PMI. They all look as if they're going to be north of 50. So we've got mild expansion running through China. We have had those announcements how they're going to be spending more on the fiscal side, although directed through local government to try and, rather than the central government to try and lift consumer spending, which is what they've got to do in China. But these PMIs, the manufacturing PMI is expected to lift to 50.4 from 50.2, and the non-manufacturing PMI probably up to about 50.5 from 50.4, and the cakes in manufacturing PMI, looking at that lifting to 51.2 from 50.8, and the March cakes in services PMI up to 51.5 from 51.4. So, you know, they're looking reasonably good for the time being, but eventually the whole world gets impacted by what the US is doing, and you know, China's right in the firing line of that through its trade account. Moving to Australia, and you know, we had our pre-election budget, we've got an election announced, so you know, the government's now in caretaker mode until we get to the election on May the 3rd. The budget before, some of the budget bills were pushed through pretty fast, particularly those relating to the income tax changes that were announced in the budget. You know, that's where the 15% marginal tax rate comes down to 14%. Not particularly soon, that's from the 1st of July 2026, and then goes down again to 14% going to 2027. The opposition has said if they get up in the election, then they'll actually rescind that, and but instead they'll be putting through a much earlier halving of the excise duty on petroleum, which works as a sort of tax cut as well. And inside the budget, there's all sorts of other small spending initiatives too. And that result is that we've got budget deficits of around $40 billion and more stretching out all the way through the out years now. We've got real government spending getting up to 28% of GDP, a record high over the next couple of years. It's growth supportive what's going through the budget, but it's not doing anything to hold inflation down. And remarkably, that's even admitted to in the Treasury economic forecast that came out with the budget, where they have inflation down in the low twos through this year, whilst you've got things like the energy rebate holding things back. And then neatly bouncing back towards 3% as you get in the out years, which you know, would normally be a red warning sign for the Reserve Bank. So, we've got all this nonsense about how they've managed to get inflation down, but they're certainly not going to keep it down, and not with what's happening internationally either. Something else I should mention about tariff policies in the US, when you get these sorts of imposition of large tariffs, you tend to get exchange rates starting to compensate for that. So what that implies is that those tariff hikes, to the extent that they do sort of cut into the US trade deficit, you know, that automatically means that you've still got some further strength ahead coming for the US dollar and weakness for the currencies that are not, for the countries that are not responding. So that includes the Australian dollar, which we're seeing in spades at the moment and will continue to do so. So, yeah, that's another factor we've got to contend with. We've probably got a weak Australian dollar ahead of us for quite a time, and a fair bit weaker Australian dollar. Yeah, that's obviously going to be a pretty inflationary factor as we go further ahead too. So, yeah, we've got all these issues which we're contending with. And, yeah, that brings us to this week. You know, even though last week we also, just after the budget, got the February monthly CPI, that came down to 2.4% year-on-year from 2.5% the month before. The trim mean came down to 2.7 from 2.8. We're getting into the last stages of the lower inflation rates that we can expect. You know, from here it gets sticky and they're going to start to be motoring up. It's going to be a slow motor up because they've extended things like the fuel rebate all the way out. The energy rebate all the way out to the end of this year. But the risk is that inflation obviously is going to be higher in the 2026 than it is in 2025. And that's going to be weighing on the RBA as they meet this week. They really do need some very good CPI data, and not just in the monthlies, they need to see the quarterly. And so that's the reason why just most people think that there's no way they're going to be cutting rates again this month. So we'll be holding at 4.1%. There's a chance that they might go in May, but that's after they've seen the quarterly CPI, if it's really low. And there's a chance that could happen because of the various rebates and bits and pieces in the that are influencing the CPI. But basically, they haven't got much room to move down much further. And they're in the sticky phase. And so already we've got central banks overseas in some countries which are in the sticky phase and at a higher interest rate than us. So in recent times, you've had the Fed, which has had to hold at 4.5%. You've had the Bank of England, which is on hold now at 4.5%. We're down at 4.1, so that gives you another indication of why we can't go very far with rate cuts as we look ahead. And the risk in 2026 is motoring towards interest rates starting to go back up again. And it's one of the reasons why even when we get risk assets coming under pressure, the safe haven bid for bonds can only take us so far with those yields coming down before they bounce back up again. So, watching those sorts of developments as we go through. We get some other data coming through this week. And so, for example, we get February retail sales. Unlike the US, our retail sales have been doing pretty well over the last few months. They've been actually motoring up a bit. And so I expect to be up another 0.3% after lifting 0.3% the month before. We get February building approvals later in the week as well. We've had 2 months of growth in that, and most recently a very strong bounce in January, up 6.3%, which is why the market thinks there's going to be a little bit of a give back in that February number, probably down about 1.4% when that comes out on Wednesday. That's after the RBA. After the RBA, obviously, you're going to get an awful lot of commentary too coming through from Michelle Bullock. Thursday, we get the February trade balance coming out. Our trade account is holding up for the time being. So we're still looking at a surplus of about $5.4 billion. We've had reasonable export growth, down a little bit from 5.62. And then right at the end of the week, we get the Reserve Bank's quarterly financial stability review. That's always an interesting read, and it gives an indication of what pressures the banks are coming under with their borrowers. Until now, yes, there's been a lift in sort of accommodation for borrowers getting themselves into difficulties, but it hasn't been unduly large relative to swings we've seen in cycles in the past. So watching the financial stability review, and it comes out on Friday. Moving to Europe. Europe's been another area too, which has just been showing some signs of slight improvement. Partly this is down to Germany, where they are starting to think ways around their debt ceiling so that they can spend more on things like infrastructure and certainly on defence. Defence spending is lifting all the way across Europe. And so we have sort of things like the March manufacturing PMI came out. It's had a little bit of a lift to 48.7 from 47.6. It's still below 50, but this was down in the 44s and 45s not so long back, so it has been actually working its way a little bit higher. We've also got the services sector PMI. That one is just settling around 50.4 from 50.6. It's above 50, so a little bit of improvement, or not improvement, but at least it's there's some expansion there. The March Business and Consumer Confidence Survey, that had a big lift the month before to 96.3, and it came back a bit to 95.2, so just settling back a bit. This week in Europe, we'll get things like their March CPI, down a little bit, so looking at around 2.2% year-on-year from 2.3, and the core CPI edging down slightly to 2.5 from 2.6. Yeah, it's settling there above 2, and 2 is where the ECB needs to get it. The ECB is starting to get a bit wary about how much more it can bring interest rates down in Europe, so watching that as we go ahead. The February unemployment rate comes out, and last month that was down to the lowest in 25 years, 6.2%. Expects to hold down there at 6.2%, so still relatively tight labour market in Europe. And we also get February producer prices coming out. They had a big lift going back to January, up 0.8% in the month. We expect to go up another 0.3%, and it's producer prices everywhere around the world, which are going to be the canary in the coal mine. This is where supply chains are being rattled by these tariff proposals in the US, and this is where we expect to see sort of some of the inflation pressures starting to build as we go through the course of this year. So all told, it's we're waiting for the US again, and this is Freedom Day. This is very poorly named, it's just another nail in the coffin of free international trade. Remembering that the theme of the last, before we got to the pandemic, the theme of the previous 30 years was globalization and disinflation. We really have gone to the opposite side of that, the dark side of that, which is now anti-globalization and the inflation threat that comes with that and the persistence of that inflation threat. So that's where we're sort of watching now. It's the risk as we look ahead around the world now is slow growth with sticky inflation, and that's not a particularly attractive prospect, which is why from time to time you're still finding risk assets sort of finding their level after, in some cases, they became very, very overvalued. The most notable one there, of course, is the US market, which is reacting most.